There's a Polish word called papuszka, and that word means scarf. And this gentleman was telling me that his grandmother used to always say, "You're my papuszka." And he always wondered why. And she turned to him and said, "That's because in order to buy a papuszka, you must be rich," because this was during wartime Germany and all the occupation. And so if you owned a scarf, you were rich. And so what she was saying to him is, "You're my wealth. You're what makes me rich. And that's why you're my papuszka." And certainly that goes for understanding the role of mothers. And we want to celebrate the spirit of motherhood here at Blessed Hope Bible Church. Amen? Amen. Amen. Do me a favor. Give me the off on both of these inner lights right here. And we'll cut down on some of that glare. Amen. That's better for me. When I'm teaching using PowerPoints at the campus, the students will take, "Turn them all off. I'm sleepy." But no, we're not going to do that. We want to celebrate the spirit of motherhood. And the spirit of motherhood is not simply the physical action of giving birth and bringing life into a world. There are many women who in their works show forth the spirit of motherhood. In fact, many women who, for whatever reason, may not have had a child in the biological sense have been great mothers and are great mothers in every other way. And I can count to so many women in my life who have played that role of being like a mother. And so for all of the women, we salute you all this month. We're going to salute you because of your contribution to humanity and, of course, your contribution to the church and your contribution to faith. Because if it hadn't been for Mama taking little Johnny to church, he'd be in jail. Amen?
Amen.
So a lot of the reason why we're saved today, our first evangelist was not Reverend Dr. Bishop so-and-so. It was Mama who helped to make clear to us the gospel of Jesus Christ, not only in word, but also in deed. And so we want to celebrate the spirit of motherhood. And this morning, there's a special message I have for you today by the grace of God. It's in the book of Mark, chapter 1, verses 29 through 31. Mark, chapter 1, verses 29 through 31. And we want you to know today, Mama, that Jesus will lift you up. No matter what you're going through right now, I want you to get this deep down into your hearts. If you learn anything today, know that he'll lift you up.
Amen.
When everybody else puts you down, and how many of you have been put down before, mothers, women of Blessed Hope? You've been put down every now and then. We all get put down, but I want you to know today that Jesus, when everybody else puts you down, he and he alone will lift you up. Look at verse 29. And it says, "Now as soon as they had come out of the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John." This is the beginning of Jesus' ministry. He's calling his disciples and he's entering into the public ministry in which he's going from city to city, synagogue to synagogue, doing what he did. And in this particular instance, he went into a synagogue after calling Simon and Andrew and James and John. And the first thing, as he went into the synagogue, he was met by an unclean spirit. And that unclean spirit was speaking through a man. And it said something like this: "Jesus, we know you. You are the Holy One of God." Now, this is in church. Now, there's a little bit of a lesson that I want you to understand. There's no room in church for the devil and Jesus. Some of y'all don't understand what I'm saying. But there's no room in the church for devil and Jesus. One of them got to go. And if it's Jesus in the house, guess who's leaving? So in the very first part of his ministry, as he enters into the synagogue, somebody filled with the devil meets him and says, "I know who you are." And it was patronizing and pretentious. "You are Jesus, that Son of God. Oh, you've come to torment us and do this and do that." And Jesus just cast the devil on out, got rid of that unclean spirit. Now the folk are looking around going, "Wait a minute. We ain't never heard of anybody coming around doing that before. Who is this man? He just walks into our synagogue This fool been speaking like he's lost his mind. And Jesus looks him straight in the eye and says, come on out of there. And all of a sudden, this man is in his right mind. How many of you know that women, if you got a man in your life and he's crazy, you need to give him to Jesus? Can I preach a little bit outside on the parking lot for a minute? Be all sanctimonious and dignified and delicate and discreet and politically correct. Let me just get down to the point. If you got a crazy man in your life, you need to give him to Jesus. Does he have an unclean spirit? I don't know what that fool got, but he ain't acting right, is he? You need to give him to Jesus. I think he got a devil. We don't know what he got. I don't frankly care, but I'm going to give him to Jesus. Amen? He might have Courvoisier. I don't know what he got. Make him act so crazy. Oh, now y'all religious. I'm sorry. I don't know what's going on in him. Amen. But when you look at the fact that African-American women, head of home, 70% according to the U.S. Census, there's some crazy folk running around here. But can't nobody straighten out a crazy man like Jesus. And Jesus straightened this man out. And so after the synagogue, all that happened, they invite, that is Simon Peter, invite Jesus over to his house for dinner. And I want to ask a question to you today. How many of you after church service ask Jesus to come home with you? Don't just have him in church. How many of you take him home after church service and say, Lord, you need to come to my house. I want to serve you. Because I know who you are and I believe in who you are. Come on over to my house and I want to serve you in my home. And the reason why so many homes are messed up, and I'm talking about church folk homes, are so messed up is because we leave Jesus in church, but we don't take him home with us. We don't invite him into our house. And you got Christians getting divorced and going all kind of crazy, doing what sinners do. Why? Because Jesus is only in church, but he's not in their house. And the reason he's not in their house, because they don't want him in their house. And the reason they don't want him in their house is because they want their house to mess. Say, Pastor, why would somebody want their house a mess? So they can have an excuse for leaving it. Talking about Holy Ghost filled and all this other craziness stuff folks claiming to be. Jesus needs to be at your house. He needs to be in the house with you. You need to invite him. He said, I stand at the door and knock, waiting for you to open up. Don't just leave him at church shouting and singing and praising God, lifting up holy hands and leaping and rejoicing, making his praise glorious and then going home. Without him, take him with you. Take him in the car with you. Make sure he's in the music that you listen to. Amen. Y'all should know all of the songs of gospel and of Zion. Amen. Soon as Tony starts playing, you all ought to know it. Amen. Yeah, if he throw down some Marvin Sapp, he saw the best in me. The whole church should go, oh, yeah, we know that. Why? Because we listen to it. Oh, y'all not ready. Instead of, you know, some of the other stuff, I ain't going to go there. Yes, I am. No, I'm not. Well, Simon and Andrew and James and John, they walking with Jesus, going over to Peter's house for something to eat. And it's not that Jesus did not have access to food. It's the fact that Peter felt the need for his companionship. Come over for dinner because I want to be around you. How many of you want to be around Jesus outside of church? Amen. That's what real Christianity is. In Mark chapter 1, verse 30, look at what it says. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick with a fever, and they told him about her at once. So now we know a little bit something about Simon's household. Number one, not only does he have his wife there, but his wife's mother. He has his mother-in-law in the house, with him. And this is not uncommon in this day. It's very uncommon in days like this. But I can attest, there's nothing wrong with having mother-in-law in your house. In fact, it could be a blessing to have mother-in-law living in your house. And I know some of you say, not my mother-in-law, and that's all well and good. I'm not here to get in your business. But I am here to say that this was common. This is not something we look at and go, wow, you mean Peter's mother lived with him? Where else would she live? They didn't have nursing homes back in that day. Where else is she going to go? When I go into some parts of Mexico where the culture has not been, how would we say, adulterated and messed up by Americanism, you can see five generations. Five generations. And that one who's at the pinnacle, at the top, she's generally a matriarch. And nobody would even think to say she's a burden or she's somebody, we need to put her somewhere. No, they take care of them until they go on to be with the Lord. Now, we find here that the dinner plans have been briefly interrupted. It was Simon's desire to make sure that Jesus had something to eat, but there's a problem. The mother-in-law is sick with a fever. The mother-in-law is sick with a fever. And she can't get up and serve. Let me tell you something about your wife and your mother-in-law and cooking. Mother-in-law is not a bad cook. And she taught the daughter, who is your wife. And if you're going to serve Jesus, you want everybody giving their best. Y'all didn't catch that. If the wife can cook, where did she learn to cook? From her mother. So if you got two cooks in the house, you don't want one of them down, especially the one who taught the other one. If your wife can make mac and cheese, you should see what her mama could do. Because nowadays, you know, we don't have the same cooking and all of this, but mama and her mama, they could cook. Amen? And let me tell you, there's a saying, when mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Let me just tweak it a little bit. When mama-in-law ain't happy, ain't nobody eating. Because she can cook. And the thing about this generation, and I'm talking about the upper baby boomers and those who are of that age group and what have you, boy, they not only can cook, they enjoy it. They love to cook. They don't slave over the stove. I hate cooking. You know, that's for somebody else in another generation. I got to be very careful from this point on. But I just want to say, they love to cook. And if you love to eat, they love to cook. You want to take care of them. Now, here's the deal. You'll notice in this text something that happens that I think is a good lesson for you and I today. It says here, they told him about her at once. You see those pronouns in there? Him is Jesus. Her is the mother-in-law. So Simon walks in and says, hey, everybody, I want to introduce you to Jesus. Wait a minute, Simon, you can't come in. Your mother-in-law is sick. She's contagious. And then they say, hey, Jesus, we got a problem. Many times when you invite Jesus to your house is not ready for Jesus. But that doesn't mean you don't invite him. Tell him what the problem is. What we like to do is say, well, Jesus, you can't come to my house because there's some stuff in my house that would not honor you. You know what? That's why you really want him there. So that he can help you deal with the mess that's in your house. Oh, Jesus, we're going to have to go down somewhere else, man. My mother-in-law is sick. And so, Jesus, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have invited you. No, Jesus, my mother-in-law is sick. Jesus, my marriage is sick. Jesus, my teenage son is sick. And I don't mean physically. My daughter is sick. My finances is sick. Finances got a fever. How many of you got finances and they got a fever? My finances got the flu. I'm broken. I can't get up. Finances got the flu. Tell Jesus. Don't just hide from him and wait till your house is looking good to you and then say, Jesus, you can come over now. The best time to invite him over is when there's situations and problems that you can't handle. Don't be going all big and sanctimonious with Jesus, just making sure your house is right, because you need him to make your house right, to make your heart right, to make your life right, so that you can be right. Too many folk walking around with Bibles and they ain't got Jesus and don't want them to come to their house because their house is a mess. And let me tell you, Jesus is looking for messy homes to clean up. And messy lives as well. So don't try to be pretentious and all churchy with Jesus. I love the words they told him about her at once. Your son messed up. Tell Jesus when. Now. I guess I'll get around to praying. No, you start praying the moment you find out something. Tell him at once. Tell him at once. Next verse. Verse 31, Mark chapter 1. So he came, that is Jesus, took her by the hand and lifted her up. I told you she was contagious, didn't I? Because when you have a fever, isn't that the worst time to be around folk? Yeah. Don't the doctors tell you you got a fever and we need to make sure that you are over here and your family's over here, because a fever is a contagious infection. That means if you sneeze on somebody and you're sweating and chills and this, guess what they gonna get? They gonna get what you got. If they touch you or touch your clothes or things of that nature, guess what's going to happen? You lift up the probability, or you raise the probability of them getting what you have, because sick people make other people sick. Now, there's a little spiritual lesson that I'm trying to teach here. Sinful people make spiritual people sinful. Sin is a disease. It is a disease of the human heart that rebels against the word of God. And if you think that you can hang around sinful people and get right with God and bring them on in the kingdom, you need to be really careful with that program. Because you are made of flesh too. So you got to watch out who you're around, because they might have something that might get you sick. Now, I know that your intentions are good. You're trying to bring them to church. You're trying to bring them to faith. But you got to understand, he got a fever. And you don't need to be touching him right now. I'm preaching to somebody, but you already caught it. That's why you're quiet. You don't need to be doing nothing right now, because you could get what he got. Amen. Or she got, or they got. Because they sick. And here's the thing, you know they sick. There's no mystery. You're not a doctor, but you know they sick. And you have to know what you can do and what you can't do. Now, Peter didn't go in and say, hey, mama, you all right? He said, Jesus. Peter's trying to teach you something. Jesus, my mother's sick. You know what? Jesus, so-and-so sick. Because you can't heal them. Young lady, you dating a guy who ain't saved, you're not going to get him saved. Yes, I will. No, you won't. Oh, he coming to church. That don't mean nothing. And no, I don't want to meet him. Because I know what's on his mind. But if you want me to tell him what's on his mind and tell him what he needs to do from here, I will do that. Which will probably lead to a breakup in that relationship, but at least he'll know the truth. Yes. Amen. Amen. Y'all don't like this message, do you? You can't save nobody. I'm going to go to the club and preach. No. No, you're not. Don't do that. Didn't you just get saved out of the club? Why would you go back to the place that kept you in bondage. Well, I want to preach to them. Wait a minute. Did someone preach to you when you was in the club? And why do you have to go preach in the club? I want to take the church to them. You know what you'll end up doing? We won't see you at church no more. Why? Because there's a lot of contagion in the feverishness. When you go into a club, you're in a very highly contagious environment, my friend. You go into the casino. Ain't no sin to gamble. Someone wanted me to know that as if I'm stupid enough to know it's not in the Bible. But I guarantee you, you start hanging around. Y'all don't like this, but I'm going to preach this. See, Christians think they're so smart, especially these black folk who don't need to read nobody Bible. And they think they're so smart. You keep hanging around. Flirting with sin and temptation. And before you know it, you give the devil an inch. But he ain't into inches. He's into miles. His job is to hook you on temptation. To hook you. And to make sure you don't get off that hook until he destroys your life. And the idea of taking your Bible to the casino is insane. What you gonna do? Sell it for chips? Don't do it. And go to the casino, backslide and go. Tell God you don't love him no more. Go on and waste your life. But don't be trying to take no church on into that situation. Don't be trying to tell me about your boyfriend who is this, and this, and he needs Jesus, that he needs to find him before he finds you. Because he's feverish. And he got something you don't want. Amen. You say, well, what does this have to do with the passage? You're going to find out right now. When sin touches us and when the fever of sickness and all of that touches us, we get sick. But when Jesus touches the sickness, they get well. See, when Jesus touched the woman, he did not get sick. She got well because his power is greater than her sickness. So when Jesus touches you, he doesn't get what you got. You get what he's got. That's why you give them to Jesus and you don't try to touch them. Because when Jesus touched her, the Bible says that he took her by the hand, didn't really say a whole lot to her, just touched her. Some of y'all looking for a word when you need a touch. You need them to touch you. You need them to minister to you in a whole different direction and situation. You need God to touch you. You haven't felt his presence. You're all cerebral and intellectual. You need a touch from God. Let him touch you. He took her by the hand, the Bible says, and he lifted her up. God will lift you up, my friends. He lifted her up. And then it says, and immediately, oh, y'all, look. Immediately, the fever left her. I got a little bit more preaching to do, so don't get tired on me yet. Look, the fever left her. Jesus touched her. The fever left her. Jesus touched her. The fever left her. Y'all get this? The fever obeyed Jesus. When he touched her, something within the physical, natural properties of illness became alive. And the virtue of his divinity kicked in and she was made whole. That's what this thing is all about. Yeah, Peter touched her. Peter be down. I don't care how much he was walking with Jesus and talking with Jesus and catching fish. If Peter had touched her, he would get sick. Amen. But Jesus touched her. And when Jesus touched her, the fever left. To my young people, if you're dating somebody, listen to me very carefully. Number one, ain't into that. But I'm not your mama and your daddy. I can only raise my own kids. But I'm just trying to help you understand. Be careful who you hang out with. Let Jesus touch them first. Let Jesus, I don't care how fine they are. You get to be fine for 15 minutes. Listen, we can talk about all of that on another program, maybe at a jam session. But I want to talk about real right now. You don't want to make a desperate choice, a very poor decision based on somebody who ain't right with God. Before he touch you or you touch them, let Jesus touch both of y'all. I'm not mad at nobody. You mad, ain't you? No, I'm not mad. I'm warning. There's a sense of urgency in my voice, not anger. I love all my young people, and they love me as well. So it's not anger in my voice. It is urgency. Last part of verse 31. And she served them. See, when he touches you, you know you've been touched by Jesus. How you know? Because you're serving him. Nobody got to ask you to do nothing. Amen? Amen. I want to talk to you today about how things work in church. Do you know that the church is not a union? You've been here for 40 years. Blessed Hope's almost 50. We got members who've been here since Blessed Hope was founded. But let me tell you something. God does not operate on a union scale. The one who's been here the longest gets the highest, the next promotion, and the next person is in line. Y'all know God don't operate that way, do you? God operates this way. Did he touch you? Serve him. And the one who serves him, they're the ones he get promoted. Y'all better listen. God ain't into seniority. Who been at the church the longest? God don't care. Well, pastor, who you think will take your shoes? Go downtown and look at who's on crack or drugs. I don't know. God can pick any child, any teenager, any 20-something. You think that they're just hanging around will somehow do something? God knows who will take over in the case of my demise or departure or whatever. I have no idea, but let me tell you something. He doesn't look at us the way we look at each other. There's a message for some of us. You want promotion? Serve him. And he'll do the promoting, not Blessed Hope Bible Church. And some of you have been serving and serving and serving. You've earned your spot in the eyes of God. And the church should honor that. Amen. So, come on, y'all. Quit playing. Amen. Because you've been serving. Why are you serving? Not to get money, because you've been touched. And that's the only kind of people who need to be at Blessed Hope Bible Church. People whom God has touched. Because if you've been touched, I ain't got to call you because you missed church. You've been touched. You'll be at church. That's what I want in my house. I want folk who've been touched. I ain't got no drama in church when everybody in church been touched. Because they're always going to let the other guy win. You know why? Because I've been touched. I ain't got to win this argument. I ain't got to win this fight. I ain't got to win this discussion. Why? Because I've been touched. Y'all know Jesus' program, don't you? It is most unpredictable. That's why you just serve him. And if I could get you to do anything, anything at all, it would be to serve him. Amen? Amen. Amen. Now listen up. I want to talk one more time about this issue so that you can see how the Spirit of God works. When David was to be anointed king, something happened. Samuel went to Jesse and said, "How many boys you got?" "Seven." And all of them passed before Samuel. And God said, "I don't want none of them." What did Samuel say? "You got anybody else?" "Yeah, I got the youngest." And guess who got to be king? The youngest. Moses was younger than Aaron. Who did God choose to be the deliverer? Moses. There was once a group of men sitting out on the corner looking for a job. Jesus said, it was around 6 in the morning, "Why don't y'all go on out in my field and work on out there?" And they worked all day. But then 1 hour left, Jesus was still looking for workers. And guess what? Everybody got the same pay. Y'all remember the story, don't you? Serving God is not about what you can get out of God. It's the fact I've been touched. I serve him because he touched me. Oh, come on, y'all. Did he touch you today? How many of you been so down that you can't get up? Am I talking to somebody today? Why don't you raise your hand right now if I'm talking to you? I love it in here. I'm going to lose a few pounds today. I got my sauna. Welcome to my bathhouse, my sauna. Maybe you experienced a job loss. How many of you have been through that? Lost your job. Got that pink slip. Amen? Been through that. Perhaps your bills are greater than your finances. How many of you can say that? Look at all them hands go up. Yeah. Amen. You're not alone. Maybe your zip code was 63033. Maybe that was your zip code. You lost everything. You just came home and you didn't have a home. I'm here to tell you something today. Or you know somebody who's gone through this. No matter what you're going through, my beloved friends, those of you who are here, Jesus will lift you up. Bow your heads. Bow your heads. If you want him to lift you up right now, I want you to raise your hand. Let me pray for you. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you today for the word of God, which promises us that if we trust Jesus, he will lift us up. Well, Lord, we're here today to give you glory, honor, and praise for mercies that we don't deserve, but mercies that are still new as the morning. Lord, right now, for all the hands that are raised and the hearts that are raised, we pray that you will lift up every soul that is discouraged, despondent, or in despair. We pray in the name of Jesus right now that you will look on us and have mercy on marriages and homes and families and bills and physical situations and schoolwork and teachers that are toxic and all the stuff that our young people have to go through. Father, if there's a friend who betrayed our young people and they're discouraged because they don't have any friends that they can count on, Lord, be a friend to them right now and let them know, Father, that their weeping may endure for a night, but joy will come in the morning. Father, I lift up every need that is in this church. And we ask you in Christ's holy name, move in a mighty way. And touch every heart right now. Touch, Lord. Touch, 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 touch every single heart right now, Father. Every single marriage, every single situation. Right now, Father, right now, right now, right now. Touch lives. Lord, we bless your name. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Give them a hand, praise.